I just drove by there today, and that place is jammed back with cars, too.
I'd like to call this meeting to order, the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, February 17th, 2015. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Keen?
Here.
Commissioner Ballard Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
And Chair George?
Here. And if we could stand for the flag salute, please, follow Commissioner Fowler Payne.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we'll move on to agenda review. This is where the commission may revise the order of agenda items. Does anyone have a revision today, tonight? No? Okay, then we'll move on to community comments and suggestions. The comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on the agenda today. Seeing as there's no one in the audience, we'll move on. To written communications, we have two memorandums for the agenda item 8A and the schedule for the ARC-HRC meetings. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we'll move on to the consent agenda, approval of minutes for February 3rd, 2015. Does anyone have any corrections or changes?
No.
And I don't either.
I move we approve the minutes of Tuesday, February the 3rd, as presented.
Roll call. Commissioner Keen?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
And Chair George?
Yes. That takes us to public hearings. 8A, consideration of amended conditional use permit 15-001 for lot merger 15-001 and variance 15-001. Location is 880 Oak Park Boulevard, and the applicant is Russ Scheppel. And I believe we have a memorandum to continue the public hearing to a date uncertain at this time. Is that correct?
Thank you, Chair George. Members of the Commission, that is correct. Following agenda preparation and delivery toward the end of last weekend, staff received correspondence from a neighboring property owner addressing an item that was previously unidentified regarding the project, and staff has had inadequate time to analyze that issue given we're coming out of a four-day weekend. So at this time, staff recommends that the item, rather than be continued to a date uncertain, we've received some additional correspondence since that memo went out. We are changing our recommendation to continue the public hearing to a date certain of March 3rd.
Okay, can we get a motion for that?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Do we want to discuss the item at all and ask staff of any questions, and, or just continue it and just bring our concerns up at that meeting?
That's up. I'll leave that up to you to decide if there's something you'd like to say or ask.
Well, I reviewed the package, and I thought there's some lacking some information. It'd be nice to let the applicant know to bring that application, you know, more full and more complete, so...
You want to hear? You
want to
talk about it? If we
could.
Sure.
Before we just continue it.
So would you like a staff report, or would you like to just move with comments and questions?
I'm just going
to
throw...
We need to address the motion first, yeah. And then...
Okay, so...
Yeah, there's a
we'll,
motion.
We'll hold the motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll retract the motion if the commission wants to hear... some more information about the project.
Okay, so motion retracted?
Yes.
Okay, I'll second that.
If the second will retract too.
I'm happy to retract, yes.
Thank you.
So then we'll proceed to questions and comments, and we'll start with Commissioner Mack.
Thank you. On reviewing the the package. There's a couple questions I had. Is it typically that we provide a grading plan along with the proposal? It was really difficult for me to understand the height changes and whatnot on the proposal and verify the heights of the buildings because there's no topography and dimensions to the topography. Is that available for us to see, or is there one that's been generated or one that can be generated?
There was a grading plan that was brought forward with the previous entitlement that the applicant's now looking to amend. I can make sure that they provide that information prior to the next meeting.
That would be great information for us new people. The second thing is I found a discrepancy in the parking calcs, you know, between what's in the staff report, between what's in the project proposal, and between some of the addendums. Is there a way that staff can clarify or the applicant can clarify how those parking statistics came about and actually have that maybe as an exhibit next time when we move forward?
Absolutely, yes.
Because I couldn't tie it to the municipal code, and there's no information on how the parking was determined for Kennedy Nautilus. And I did some research just online because we don't necessarily have that addressed in our code. But I found, and I'll pass this on to staff and powers to be, for staff and many commissioners. It's determined in other jurisdictions and other areas, one parking stall per, I think it's like 500 square feet of floor area. And then I saw in a report that was prepared by Penfield and Smith that he came up with trying to be accurate, I think it was 89 stalls. Excuse me, 83 spaces, and that was on a prior to project even being built. So I'm just really curious of how many spaces are really being used for Kennedy Nautilus and if that information can be provided on what is real as opposed to what was planned for all the buildings. So this whole report was based on a project that wasn't built yet. So just confirmation of what the building sizes are and how those are being parked. And then also I saw in your staff report that there were some parking places to be removed. And I went out there this morning and found cars parking all over the place. And when I counted the parking places to be removed, I counted 18. I think in your report it said 14, so clarification on that. Be nice to see what parking stalls are being removed and which ones are being brought in new as a comparison. In my opinion, it just seems to be underparked. And
yeah, certainly parking has continued to be a discussion every single time a phase of this project or a reiteration of this, even this proposed project, has come forward. So we're happy to try to provide that clarification given the specifics you just mentioned for the next meeting.
And the options I was just going to throw out there was, you know, put reality down on paper, you know, how many parking stalls are really needed for all the uses, and then come in with the appropriate mixed-use reduction, you know, and maybe it might be 20% instead of 10%, but let's have a real count on what the cars are. I think people need to know if they're going to be in a bind, hate for one of the businesses to suffer as a result because they can't find parking. The Meadow Creek Independent Care, right now it's proposed to be two floors, one of which is kind of subterranean. I could easily see that being a parking structure down below and two stories high, given the fact that, you know, we can have that 35-foot height limit. So, I mean, there is opportunities for more parking on the project site. That concludes my comments.
Okay. Does anyone else have a comment?
I have concerns with the proposed new circulation plan. I think that that's going to put a great impact on the frontage of the Meadow Creek Care Facility. And when you go by the calculations of the 20 trips per peak hour and, say, 18 hours of service at just at Kennedy Club, that brings, I think it was 360 vehicles crossing in front of this care facility each day. And I think that's pretty high. If you went back to the original circulation plan that was previously approved, you wouldn't have the in-and-out traffic in front of the Meadow Creek. Besides the parking on the new design, and I'm not sure what you call it, but pulling head in order to get out of that space, you're going to have to, an elderly person is going to have to maneuver, I would probably even have to, two or three times before you can get backed out of there, depending on what kind of vehicle you have. What that's going to do is jam up traffic coming in and out of there. If you had the ingress and egress back up on the Kennedy facility, you'd have all this traffic going just through that facility and not traversing in front of this care facility. I just can't imagine that many cars. I too was at the site twice today to see it, plus about four times over the weekend just to see what the traffic and parking impact was. It was never at a lull. So I just think that's not a safe alternative, what they have proposed. I think that's having that traffic circulation come down through and in front of the Meadow Creek care facility. As it makes that turn, the lights of those vehicles are going to shine in probably, I don't know, four to six of those bedrooms or whatever you want to call them on the care facility. And if that traffic starts at 5 o'clock in the morning, those are their hours, is 5 to 10 from Monday through Thursday. You know, I just can't imagine their lights glaring in through that care facility. Not to mention, when I was there watching people come and go, as soon as, not so much come, as when they left, the first thing they did when they got in their vehicle was pick up their cell phone. I don't know whether they're thinking it's a private parking lot, they can talk on the phone before they get to the street or what, but I would sure hate to have somebody talking on their phone and not pay attention to maybe some of these elderly people walking across this road. There needs to be maybe a designated crosswalk area. I found a discrepancy, too, with the parking. It was all over the place. I couldn't figure
it
out.
Very hard to follow.
Yeah, and then one other thing I saw in this new staff report was they said there were 16 covered parking spaces, and I didn't see any place where there was 16 spaces going to be covered for the independent living. Okay, that's it. Somebody else...
Question. Did the Traffic Commission look at this project?
Matt and I were trying to discuss, again, several reiterations of this project and whether it had gone the previous time. And given the change in the project description was from condos to assisted living, the traffic impacts would be, generally speaking, less. So I think that's the thought with that. But we'll confirm that again for you before next meeting.
Well, I thought when I read through here, if they didn't exceed the peak hour trips of 20, they didn't have to have a full-blown traffic study. And that at whenever they did this in 2004, which was 11 years ago, they were showing peak hours generated at 19.62. And in the last 11 years, I would positively say that the use of Kennedy Club has increased, probably doubled, from the way the parking looks there. And the other, I just had a question. When Kennedy Club was approved and the medical, you know, the Shepherd 1 and Chappelle 1 and Chappelle 2, did they include this area as part of the overall development for this site? Or was this three, from what I see on that plan, three lots, was that a whole separate piece of property that was evaluated? And if so, if you had, I just can't imagine having all that traffic circulating like that.
There seems to be that there probably was a master plan at one time that was approved, because I was reading this OEG letter, and it was pointing to that it's going to have less impact than the previous proposed use, and I don't even know what that use was.
Well, that was in 1999.
Yeah, I get so really confused over that.
Even older.
So I can address, yes, there was a master plan for the entire plaza at one point in time that included several medical office buildings. It has been amended several times, partly from Kennedy, partly from several other entitlements. There are portions of it that were reciprocal parking and access easements, but they're not all covered under one umbrella. So certain uses were allowed to park certain places. That's part of what leads this to be such a confusing, at least from a parking standpoint, parking analysis. And I should clarify, Commissioner Fowler-Payne, that the traffic, anticipated traffic generation is actually not from the 2004 study. I misunderstood that from our communication earlier. This is based on the SANDAG trip generation numbers and staff's analysis of the number of units versus the amount of traffic that's generated. So it does, it comes to 19.62 just for this proposed development, not the site as a whole, and therefore, because we're looking at the proposed development, it is less than the, as you mentioned, it's less than requiring a full traffic analysis.
Well, and I agree, but if it's just looking at this Meadow Creek care facility development, that's still going to be highly inaccurate, because you're taking all the traffic that's coming off Kennedy. If you go with this proposed site plan, you're bringing all that traffic from Kennedy and Medical 1 and Medical 2 offices down through there, because that's going to be the only exit. So I would think that would substantially increase that.
I'll review the traffic impact policy prior to the next meeting.
Yeah, by making that an in-way only, it really changes the flow and runs all the cars.
If you look at the proposed one that's approved now, mm-hmm. trying to get the semis in and out of there, it's a disaster. It would never work right. Mm-hmm. I mean, a car parked in one of those end things would be in jeopardy, where he goes up the hill and turns. Mm-hmm. So that was the goal, is to try to get the semis in and out of there in a manner that they're not trying to run over everybody.
Well, I would have thought that.
Just a minute till I get done, please. When we look at this project right now, we're not looking at parking in Kennedy or whatever. We're looking at amending this project that's been approved. So, granted, Kennedy is a disaster, and they're happy. They have contracted with the church across the street for their employees to park over there. And so they're, even though it looks terrible, and I wouldn't spend 5 minutes in that traffic mess there, they are not looking for more parking spots because there's none available to them. And when you ask about I'm kind of jumping around here. When we look at the master plan, this area where this new independent living, and that dirt parking lot was all one huge building. Huge building. And so when we look at what the master plan for the whole thing was, this is quite a reduction for the whole property by dividing it up like this. Mm-hmm. I'm not pushing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not my goal. But we need to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do and not open up a can of worms that can't be solved. And mm-hmm. we can't force this project to furnish more spaces for Kennedy. So that Kennedy fixes the mess. But, you know, that's just not something that's correct. Available to mm-hmm. us. You were talking about the covered parking spots. If you look, that was the other project. That was the project that's approved now that had the covered had to have the covered parking spots. It's not very clear because I looked at that too. But those with this new project won't have any covered parking spots.
Because it's assisted living.
Yeah, it's assisted living.
Actually, Commissioner Keene, I can clarify that. So the previous townhome project, townhomes are typically required to have two parking spaces in an enclosed garage. Part of the development review of the last project in approving the townhomes was to how to clarify this, have one parking space in an enclosed garage that's subterranean and essentially have a non-counted tandem parking space in the driveway. So essentially everybody knew there was an extra parking space there, but we couldn't count it toward meeting any criteria. What we as staff had initially overlooked in bringing up the change from the townhomes to independent living and not assisted living is our parking category is different on the independent living and does require covered parking. Not to say that staff necessarily agrees with that, but it is a requirement of the code. The applicant simply has yet to identify that in terms of being on their plan. So it is actually a code requirement that we looked up.
I think I was looking at the bottom of page 5 on that staff report. It says for the one-bedroom independent living units, one covered space per unit. So that and it says, right, therefore, 16 covered parking spaces. So that was with regards to this new design, not the old.
Okay.
And I looked there and couldn't find any place where you'd have 16 units parking spaces that you could have a run of covered spaces. You'd have to break it up into two areas.
So we're not trying to create problems. I really love the project. I just want to make sure it works from a parking standpoint because there's really a lot of different components going on here and hard to grasp, especially when you see 18 parking stalls that can potentially be parked by the hotel next door. And I don't know if overflow parking can happen over next door from Kennedy Nautilus. All I know is when I went out there today, there seemed to be an extra 60 stalls needed that were parked all over this future building site, and then the row of parking stalls that are being taken out, and whether that's being replaced somewhere on site for Kennedy Nautilus, or as you explained, maybe there is an agreement across the way for those people to park. We just need to know. We just need to get it out there, because if there is a problem in the end,
it's going to be
difficult to fix later.
Right. But this whole easement thing has been going on for years, and even up to this last project, there was when they started doing the surveying and, you know, trying to put all those easements together, there was a section right here where that road goes down, where they joined the two together, mm-hmm. that was not even mentioned in an easement. There was a 10x10 plot in there that was not covered by, so it didn't belong to anybody. So, you know, it's just things like that has stymied this development for the whole project. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about this dirt lot here, I think I really think when it gets paved and marked, it'll furnish more parking than it is when people just randomly park up there. Uh-huh. But I don't have a problem going through the parking. You know, it's been one hassle after another, and we need to get it right. So this is a good chance to do that. Thank you.
Commissioner Martin?
Yeah. If we had a copy of the track map, which is what I easily relate to, we would have seen where there were easements through there, because they evidently have been there since Kennedy Club was initiated from the motel or hotel. And yet we don't have anything that clearly identifies where that easement was. We've seen different designs of where it could go, but it had to have had a specific place unless that easement says to be determined. And it would also have had the contours, so we would have known what the topo was on there. And I'm in favor of the project. I think it's highly needed in this area, and it's probably going to become more so in the future as we all get older. And I thought the 8 condos that were in there was just kind of a wasted idea. That who would want to even buy something that was stuck back in the middle of a parking lot that was so busy? That so I think the 18 units, I can see people living there that has, you know, a spouse that's in this memory care facility. And I think the project is good. I just think there's some issues that need to be resolved.
There's one other thing that's being asked with this application, and that's a variance. Is that new from the last proposal? From the creek setback? Is that a new request?
It's an expansion of the previous request. So the setback from Meadow Creek is 50 feet from the top of the creek bank. The previous entitlement requested that be reduced from 50 down to 35. So the new request is being from essentially from 50 to 32, or you could look at it from 35 to 32. So it is a new request, but it's in line with the previous entitlement.
I'd like to provide for background that the original entitlement, two entitlements ago, entitlement was given, the creek setback at that time was 25 feet from the top of the bank. So when we reviewed the project last year, even though the creek setback changed to 50, it was in consideration that they were actually going from building 25 feet, and they were actually improving the setback at that time, and that was a consideration in granting that variance. And now they're coming up back a few feet closer again, and that's the request for your review.
Well, it's not consistently 32 or 35 feet. It kind of meanders along there anyway. There's points where it reaches that, but not consistently. I did see that on the plans.
I guess the reason why I'm throwing that out there, because I firmly remember when it was 25, and I mean, why don't we let them go to 28 or 25 and put another bay of parking or next to the trash enclosure? And I just looking at options that could be best for the project and the project's success.
I think that the Corps of Engineers is going to balk at going anything less than what we've approved, because they didn't like it when we agreed going to 35. And the 35 was kind of a compromise because they had a project already designed that we had approved for 25 foot. And then the ordinance changed and made it 50 for Meadow Creek, 25 for the rest of the town. So that put us in kind of a bind, since he had an approved project at 25, that the compromise was to go to his 35. And that's how the 35 got it. It was just kind of no formula. It was just 35 was better than 25 and less than 50. And so that's how that came up. But the like you say, that bank is curved and jagged and everything, so there's only a couple places. That is it 71.6 feet is the top of mm-hmm. top of bank that they measure from, so there's only a couple places that really impacts the building.
Mm-hmm. As the initial application that approved it at 25 feet expired, was that a development plan review or a subdivision? Or
that was a subdivision. At the previous, so when this project was last considered back the beginning of last year, that project was a subdivision. It was still active through state extension. So he could have theoretically pursued that project at 25 feet. With the approval in January of 2014 by the city council, it essentially, you know, invalidated the previous approval of 25 feet, and so now the approval is at the 35-foot mark. So, yeah.
One of the things about all these easements is the city virtually caused that easement for the motel because they demanded to have a fire access, two fire accesses. And that the only other one, you know, off of Oak Park, then they had to procure an easement through this vacant. The whole thing was vacant then. So there's always been a problem about exactly what that easement says. And that's what is supposed to get cleared up in this mess. And it just goes back and forth according to whether you talk to Chappelle or Brunel, you know, who's got what rights and everything. And one of the, I don't know, it was a condition on this project now was that they would sue one another and take it to court and decide, because they could never decide amongst themselves. They just couldn't come to a conclusion. So basically that's what this letter is talking about from the lawyers is the kind of a condition that we put in. I don't remember it being a condition, but we said that had to happen before the project could go forward.
It wasn't a condition. How it was just kind of a general understanding. The easement issue is a private easement. It doesn't involve the public in any way. So therefore, the city is not necessarily the hammer in terms of enforcing that easement. When this came up last time, we did determine that it is a private easement. If they are going to build the project as approved, they would need to work those easements out amongst themselves. I theoretically, hopefully, over a friendly conversation, but as you can read in the letter, it did end up in a lawsuit. The issue that came up from that letter was the concept of the exclusivity of those parking spaces, which was not something that was identified in any of the previous project iterations in terms of who kind of has first right to those parking spaces. So that's something that staff wants to analyze.
Well, again, that's probably going back to the court case determining on those parking. Although, if there was a legal written document that, if there wasn't, then it's just a hearsay. Or
there were numerous documents. That's part of the when the project was previously heard. We received copies of several different iterations of basically the same agreement, and it was extremely difficult to connect all the dots. And so that's what, in the end, when we determined that it wasn't necessarily our job to connect the dots for the two property owners. However, again, this idea of exclusivity has a direct impact on the project, and so that's why we're recommending continuing it.
Well, I have just two brief comments. First, I believe staff already has a full complement of working orders and enough work to do to fill for the next couple of weeks. So I don't want to add anything more on that. I think just saying the word parking makes a legitimate issue. And the other thing, my comment is I agree that this is not a referendum on Kennedy Nautilus, but I think this project will bring to full development, these neighboring and these affected parcels. And obviously the easement rights of the hotel adjacent to it becomes a real critical issue. But now is the time, I think, to get all these addressed and clarified. The city may not be the hammer, but the individual property owners, once this is developed, the parking police on these various properties are going to be impacted. And my concern, there's inadequate parking for the senior residents, and there's going to be inadequate parking for Kennedy and inadequate access for just general access and egress, for, vehicles and deliveries and things of that nature. So Kennedy may not be specifically a part of the issue here, but I think traffic at Kennedy is going to really impact all of this. And I think now's the time to really get it addressed. So I'm in favor of delaying.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments, questions? No? So should we entertain a motion now? Anyone?
Same one. I move that we move this to a date of March 3rd.
Second.
I'll second.
Take a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
And Chair George?
Yes. Okay, so then we'll move on to non-public hearing items. We have a couple of administrative decisions, 1355 East Grand and 995 East Grand. Did we have any questions or comments from the commissioners regarding these two?
I have a simple question. On the Ashley Furniture one, it says approval of sidewalk sales on various holiday weekends. As someone that deals with commercial tenants and commercial property every single day, I don't have any problem with sidewalk sales. But there's a difference in my mind between the approval and reality. The reality here is I believe that Ashley pretty much has sidewalk sales every single weekend, if not every single day. And so I'm curious to know what the approval on various holiday weekends might mean versus every weekend.
As you've probably observed, yes, that does continue to be a problem at that location. So we routinely approve several sidewalk sales throughout the year for Ashley Furniture with conditions such as their adequate ADA access must be maintained. They can't put things out to the street curb, that sort of thing. So we do that in order to allow them to hold these events. When they start having them every weekend, it's when our code enforcement officers go out and start dealing with them and remind them that they're supposed to stick to certain weekends that we have identified. It's just not obviously identified in the report.
That's fine. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Then we'll move on to commission communications. Does anyone have any communications? Staff communications?
None this evening.
Great. So should we address the calendar for the ARC and the HRC or the commissioners in agreement with their scheduled times?
If that's agreeable to you, of course, given that there's probably several changes that may or may not occur in the original schedule, but that's generally settled by you during the course of the year. But if it's agreeable to you, then we can go forward with the schedule for liaison meetings with the ARC and HRC.
And what would be our protocol if we're unable to attend a meeting?
To contact another commissioner.
Everyone's okay with their schedules? Yeah?
I think it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And also, Chair George, I did skip over the need to appoint a commissioner to the Bridge Street Bridge Stakeholders Committee. There's no set meeting date, but I would expect need to convene the stakeholders group another couple times over the next year or so as the project progresses. So if the commission would please designate one of your members to attend as needed the Bridge Street Bridge stakeholders group, that would be very helpful.
Do we have any commissioners interested in being appointed?
John, let's do it.
Okay, great. So do we nominate John then? Is
yep.
that how it works?
I think I heard a nomination for John Mack. And if you're all in agreement, probably a voice vote would be helpful.
There's a second.
If a second's required, I'm happy to second that.
Roll call.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Keen?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Great. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that.